Special guest is on the line with us now, Daniel Boulou, who's written, well, he has, first of all, hello, Daniel, let's just say hello. Hello?
Hello, how
yes.
are you?
Okay. Of course, this is an illustrious chef. I mean, you have Daniel, you have DB Bistro, you have, what else do you have?
Well, it's started by Daniel, the restaurant.
Right.
It's on 65th Street and Park Avenue in the Upper East Side in New York. And then, of course, there's Café Boulou on 76 and Madison, where Daniel used to be there for 5 years and moved. And then there's DB Bistro on 44th Street in the Broadway and Business District of downtown, I mean Midtown.
Yeah, I've been there several times, and I have to tell you this. Every time I admit this, Anne gets mad at me. I hijacked her press pass to the opening of, to the opening of Danielle, because I was in New York that day, and she wasn't.
I see, Peter.
And we had a wonderful time with the guys from All Clad and all the wonderful food that you
of
cooked.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So actually, I had Mr. Navarre, the president of All Clad, was here yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there you go.
In New York and at Danielle. So that was very nice. I say, well, a little bit of Pittsburgh is with me.
There you go. They still manufacture here, although the company's owned by some different people now.
Yeah, but it's a very good company.
It's fabulous.
Certainly one of the best in the world, period.
I think so, too.
That wonderful guy, Peter Cameron, I guess, found it.
Of course, was a dear friend also and founded that.
We love him, too. He's a dear friend of ours.
Yeah, he found a great new job, I guess. He's working for another part of the Tony O'Reilly business, I think.
Right, could be.
And with, what's her name, his father founded All Clad?
Sam Michael.
There we go, yeah. Yeah, and I think his daughter is still with the company.
Well, I see Sam quite often because now he spends more time in Florida.
I see.
And Sam Michael, I have a restaurant in Palm Beach called Café Boulou Palm Beach.
Yeah, I was going to say, you
and
have two so other restaurants. So
Mr. Michael, the founder of All Clad, is in Café Boulou Palm Beach all the time.
I see.
That's great. Well, anyway.
And you have a place in Las Vegas as well.
In Las Vegas, yes. It's called Daniel Boulou Brasserie, and it's at the Wynn Resort Hotel, right on the lake side of it's a small lake.
It's a real miracle that what's happened in Las Vegas, right?
Yes, it's a miracle, and sometimes it's more of a fantasy than a reality. But they keep the fantasy going, and it's amazing how many young people move to Las Vegas and work and are very, very motivated to be there because the weather is nice, the life is affordable, and there is work. I mean, and they do earn quite a good living.
So Chef Danielle, you own all these establishments, you run all these kitchens, I'm sure you cook all the time at Chef Danielle. How on earth did you manage to find time to write a book, and why a book about braising?
Well, you know, the story of a book is not like in a restaurant. But in the restaurant and in many chefs to do the job every day in order to, you know, prepare everything and serve everything and all that. Doing a book is the same thing. You need someone to help you stay focused. You need someone to keep the ball rolling. So I had an assistant called Catherine Yang, and she was my assistant to do this book. And actually now she's the manager at the Bouchon Bakery for Thomas Keller.
Oh, yes.
AOL Time Warner Center.
Okay.
And Catherine spent many years with me taking care of recipe development and research. I think it was a great relation with her and with Melissa Clark, who is the co-writer
yes.
of the book.
Melissa.
And did also some research and test the recipe and all that, and myself. So, and the story was that I could have done a book on braise just with French-style braise dishes. But we wanted to take a journey through international cuisine and be inspired by braising dishes in an Indian style, in a South American or Middle Eastern or Asian, French, Belgian, Italian, Spanish. So it was a very, because on a single subject that we felt that we could really expand to other horizons than just French cuisine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty universal cooking method, isn't it?
Very much. And braising is certainly, maybe the method, I mean, of course, it's easy to barbecue, it's easy to grill. Anybody can be a chef when it comes to grill, to use the grill outside and to grill something. But to braise, one has to be a cook. You know what I mean? I think you have to be a good cook to braise. But you don't have to be a fancy cook. You just have to follow the step carefully and choose the right ingredient. But often braise is made with very affordable ingredients. Like, you know, it could be a shoulder of pork. It should be a shoulder of lamb. It's short rib of beef. You can braise so many things. I mean, you can braise chicken, of course. You can meat braise very well. Of course, we have also recipe for fish and for vegetable and for fruit as well, dessert, braise fruit. But braising, it's, I think, the cooking where in every culture, in every cuisine around the world, there is really a soul, there is really a tradition, there is really something where it's almost the way, I mean, the cooking really expresses generosity. And you never braise with a proportion, a minimal proportion in mind. You always braise more than you need. And if you throw a party for 8 people and you made a braise, two more show up or 3 more show up, you don't feel worried about it.
Now, I noticed that the recipes call for 5 pounds of pork and 4 pounds of this and
exactly.
six pounds of that. So, because you can always have a leftover. In fact, you make a recommendation in your book that I read that we follow sometimes, which is to make it the day before, which gives you the option of being able to remove the fat from the surface if the dish happens to have a lot of that in there.
Exactly. Sometimes some meat rejects a little bit more fat than the other, and so you can do it the day before and then reheat it gently, rehydrate it with water, and then the braise is ready, so you don't stress the day you entertain.
Now, you mentioned in your introduction that one of the things that introduced you to these, shall we say, exotic, only because they're not. French braising recipes, that you got some of them from new members of your kitchen team, and you used to ask them to prepare a staff meal in the style of their country, and as a result you got to learn more about what was
exactly.
around the world.
And every time I do a cookbook, I kind of always pick up few recipes from people coming from, you know, all over the country here with different origin all over the world as well. And
but you put some of yourself into all this too, because I'm looking at this recipe for moussaka, spiced eggplant, artichoke, and tomato casserole. Well, I mean, I even used to own a Greek restaurant, and I never had anything like that.
Well, that's the thing. Taking a very traditional idea and a very traditional recipe, we tasted many, many versions of it, of being classic, and then after made an interpretation and created I wanted to create something more original and something more toward what I wanted to express about that.
Right, so if you're doing feijoada, it's feijoada a la Danielle.
Danielle, but there is all the elements, like, you know, there's the pigs here, and there's the blood sausage, and there's basically it's everything a Brazilian will be proud to put in his feijoada, but with the refinement of Danielle.
Yeah, I have to tell you, by the way, that I love blood sausage. It's one of my very favorite things. And we were at Le Manoir au Quatre Saisons during the summertime, and Chef Raymond was actually away, but we had the boudin noir. Which is on his breakfast.
Oh, it's good.
It was absolutely to die for. It was so wonderful.
My God, on breakfast.
Yeah. Well, the English people eat that kind of thing for breakfast.
That's the big, you know, the full English breakfast is
always has some black pudding.
Cholesterol inducing, you know. So now you don't like bananas.
No, not too much. But then I still accept the fact, and we should have a dessert with banana because the world loves banana and I don't.
So there is a recipe for bananas with nutmeg, honey,
and coconut crumble to dessert, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I mean, what you come from? What part of France?
Lyon,
which is the capital of French cuisine.
Well, yes, and it was the heart of cuisine in France. Yes, and was or is, but today, I mean, of course, there's many other regions where we eat very well. But if you were to take a compass and take a circle of a, let's say, 60 to 100 miles radius around Lyon, there will be the biggest concentration of restaurants in France.
Is that right? Even more so than Paris?
After Paris.
After Paris, okay.
Yeah, as a province.
And Monsieur Bocuse is from Lyon, right?
Isn't it? Yeah, Trois Gros, Bocuse, Chapelle, Point, Pic.
Now, Ducasse,
many,
Ducasse is not from there, though.
Ducasse, no, it's from the southwest of France.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what?
Trip us through a couple of real highlights here, just to get our listeners in the mood.
I just wanted to say, Lyon is the Pittsburgh of France.
There we go.
No, the Pittsburgh of France is not far from Lyon. Is in Saint-Étienne.
Oh, sure, yes,
that's
yeah.
where they
yeah.
had a lot of mines and a lot of steel factories and things like that.
And now, I'm looking at this mustard greens and spinach puree.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
This is more, the mustard green, I would say, is more Eastern Europe, kind of.
It has garam masala.
But, yeah, exactly, as well. So it's more Eastern Europe, but Southern Eastern Europe, kind of. A little bit more Indian, kind of. Or
yeah, right. Now, every French chef has an interesting apprentice story. Do you?
Yes.
And what is yours?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Every French chef has
yes.
an interesting story about early apprenticeship.
Oh, yes.
What about you?
Oh, mine?
Yes. How old were you when you apprenticed?
I started at 14.
14.
And for the first 2 months, they used to call me the beaver, for the first 3 months, because basically I was assigned with two big sink where I was washing everything from salads to potatoes to everything, pots and pans. And basically, so they called me the beaver because I was always swimming in water.
And what are some of the interesting chefs you worked with when you were still in France?
Well, I was very lucky to be not only from Lyon, but to have worked for a two-star restaurant in Lyon called Gérard Nandron. And it was one of the best restaurants there. And really, I mean, at the age of 15, I was serving the president of France.
Wow.
I was serving all the biggest personality in politics around the world, because we were catering also to the Préfecture de Lyon, which was the town hall, and the city hall as well. I mean, and the state hall. I mean, the state hall and the city hall. And that was amazing at my age to see that. I say, God, they're giving me a pass. I mean, like an official pass with the blue, white, red lines to get into work.
Wow.
I was very impressed. But then every morning I was going to Les Halles, and Les Halles was the farmers, the market, basically the covered market for everything from fish to meat to vegetable to spice to all the supplies we could get.
Now, this was before they redeveloped it,
exactly.
Daniel?
That was 1969 to 1973. They moved Les Halles in 78, I think, 76 or 78. So, and I was there for 4 years. And every morning, I was getting my butt kicked by Paul Bocuse, by Alain Chappelle, by the all the chefs from Lyon, who were a community of chefs who every morning will meet at Les Halles and go and basically pass their order into the shops, and then after go to the bistro next door and eat a big bowl of tripe and glass of red wine and all that. And then for me as an apprentice, I will pass behind the owner and pick up the case and the crate and all that and carry it to the restaurant.
Wow. Daniel, could you hold on for just a couple minutes while we take a break and we can talk to you a little bit more?
You're welcome.
Thanks. Well, let's take a break.
Now's the time to think about these things. And right now is the time to call 1-877-PA-HEALTH, option 9, to receive a free booklet on emergency preparedness. It takes a lot more than a flashlight and water to be prepared. Do it right by calling 1-877-PA-HEALTH, option 9, right now. Sponsored by the Pennsylvania Department of Health, Edward G. Rendell, Governor.
You are listening to The Edge, AM 1550, WURP, Braddock, Pittsburgh.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig and our special guest, Daniel Boulou, chef extraordinaire. And we're talking about his book, Braise.
We were also reminiscing about Paris.
And we were talking about, when did you come to this country, Daniel?
1980.
Okay. And why did you come?
Because I was working with Michel Gérard and Roger Verger.
Okay.
In France, and Georges Blanc, which were the superstar of the time, and they always talked about America, and they always talked about, and they always were coming to take trips here. And I had friends who had worked here in America, and I don't know, I had this dream that I had to come to America. And one day, a friend of mine called me and said, well, but, you know, I had a dream to come, but I didn't want to come illegal. I didn't want to worry about the job. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if that was right to go in a place that would not maybe be really happy. I found a job in the embassy in Washington, D.C. For the European Economic Community, the chef at the ambassador. And that was like 2 years of sabbatical. Like, I arrived, I had a car, I had an apartment,
wow.
I had a job, I had a small salary, but I had everything else to make me happy.
Uh-huh. And then what happened? Were you friends with
Jean-Louis? I came to New York. I came to New York, and I had a friend who was working at La Côte Basque.
Oh, who was that?
Jean-Pierre Lemasson. He was the pastry chef at La Côte Basque.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we worked together at Verger, and he was here at La Côte Basque. At the time, we are talking the early 80s, and 1981, 1982. And I did a stage at La Côte Basque for 1 month, and I was fascinated by the energy of this restaurant, by all the young American chef working there. I mean, Charlie Palmer was there at the time, and many other young chefs was there. I mean, Todd English was there.
Boy, all in one place, huh?
Yeah, they all worked there at La Côte Basque. And I worked at that restaurant, and I was fascinated by the potential. And I said, God, this is amazing, this restaurant. But New York was amazing. I spent a month going out, and I said, God, I got to stop by New York before I go back home to Europe. And I never left.
You were going home and you never left.
Yeah.
So, no, you were friends with Jean-Louis Paladin?
Very much. And it's Jean-Louis who sent me to New York.
Uh-huh.
Because after in Washington, after I finished at the embassy, I worked for a short while into a restaurant where I was not very happy. And I went to see Jean-Louis and I said, listen, Jean-Louis, I think I'm going to go back to Europe, but I would love to go to New York. And he said, well, you know, I mean, there is definitely an opening for you, and that was the same company, Jean-Louis, at the restaurant, in the hotel in D.C.
Uh-huh.
So Jean-Louis sent me to New York for an interview, and I got hired. So.
And so when did you go out on your own?
10 years later.
Okay.
In 82, I arrived in New York, and in 92, I started in business.
And it was Danielle, the first?
I would have started earlier, but I came with zero penny in my pocket. So.
Well, did you get investors, or how did
Yes, of course, yeah, because I could have saved. I mean, I never made money as a cook, as a chef, and you can never make the amount of money you can save to do a business.
Well, I can't. I'm just appalled at how much money everybody's investing in restaurants these days.
Oh yeah, but it's. I mean, there's so much risk taken today in restaurants, but at the same time, I mean, once somebody has the maturity to do business and take care of business, I think it could be a good investment. But it's a risky one.
Oh, yes.
Now, you took over the space that was Le Cirque, right? And they've moved twice since then.
Exactly. I was the chef at Le Cirque for 6 years before
there
I went
okay.
to business. And 5 years later, Le Cirque was moving. After I left, Le Cirque was moving to the Palace Hotel on Madison Avenue. And they asked me if I wanted to come back and buy the real estate here of the hotel and the restaurant. And that was something fantastic because it was a huge investment, but at the same time, it was sort of, you know, a lifetime investment.
Uh-huh.
Because now, I mean, we own the real estate and we feel like, you know, nothing. I mean, it's not like I can get mad with the landlord because I'm the landlord.
Yeah.
Well, you can still get mad at the landlord.
You can still get mad.
You can still do that.
Now, how much time do you spend in an airplane these days?
Not much.
No?
I try to limit my travel.
Uh-huh.
I'm in a restaurant in Las Vegas. I go often, but maybe five times a year.
Uh-huh.
4 or 5 times a year, and I do short trip. But at the same time, my corporate chef, Fabrizio, goes there. I send the chef of different restaurants here to go there sometime. And then I have very competent team, and then also the management team I have, the director of operation, his assistant, some of the managers goes there as well to make sure that, you know, they are connected with the project there, and they are bringing a hand and a support to them there in Las Vegas. And the Wynn Hotel fully manage also the restaurant as well there.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So basically what's important is to make sure that we are in constant contact with the team we discuss new things, menus, and old management issue and customer issue and follow through for customers who goes there, come to New York, New York to go there. And I think it's nice. But in New York, in Vegas, what I have is a brasserie, which I don't have that in New York, really.
Okay.
And a brasserie will be like a combination of a bistro and sort of a restaurant, restaurant bistro, but with a larger seating capacity than the restaurant.
Right.
And what's very good there is that we have two private dining rooms, were beautiful, and also a wonderful terrace and a garden room, and
that sounds wonderful.
It's a very charming restaurant.
And we're due to be going there at some point because it took me a long time convincing my husband that it was probably a restaurant capital coming up.
Yes, in a way. At the same time, it's very difficult to get the heart and soul of a city life because basically nobody lives there. Everybody pass by there.
Yeah.
So it's very different. I mean, for me, I'm a New Yorker, and I need to see my neighborhood. And I mean, the people who live around my restaurant come all the time, and we are really part of their life, and they feel privileged. I feel privileged to have that. And then we have people coming from all over the world,
yes,
which we have pleasure building up relationship as well, and making sure that when they come to New York, they come back to us. Because we make them feel very special. But at the same time, in Las Vegas, what you miss is a little bit that neighborhood kind of feel a little bit.
Yeah, I'm guessing that probably you have quite a number of customers who just walk from just a few blocks away to your restaurant, right? Because of the neighborhood that it's in.
Yeah, and every one of them, Café Boulou, DB, Danielle. And we have customers who are so attached to us that they... Within the same week, they will go to each of the restaurants, maybe sometime a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
It's just they just love to be part of our family.
Where do you think of French food is now? What do you think about restaurants and French food in France these days?
Well, I think that French food in France is as healthy as French food in America. Or American food in America, for that matter, because I will say that taking out the Asian influence, taking out the Southwestern influence, taking out maybe the over Italian the Italian influence in America, what is left is a cuisine, I think, with certainly a lot of foundation based on French cuisine, which is the ingredient, the market, the season. And I think today more and more American restaurant, American chef, it's hard to tell a very French restaurant from a French restaurant from an American restaurant in a perspective that they practice the same philosophy of, you know, buying very seasonal ingredients, the
French
best,
season.
Trying to buy with farmers, trying to buy with source of ingredients who are very, very good. And then after each chef apply his technique, his ideas, and today, I think inspiration have no more boundary, and inspiration have no more frontier. I mean, not frontier, but yes, frontier. And so.
Yeah, I think I understand what you mean by frontier. Yeah.
And so, of
but
course,
not even. What about all these people with the gels and the lasers and the?
Yeah, but it's okay. They're still a minority.
Okay. Now, when
they got to be there, and they got to make. I mean, I think there's things happening also here in America where it's very interesting what's happening with cuisine today. But and people are passionate about what's happening. But at the same time, there's always a percentage of people who yet want something they feel good about, not something they feel so foreignly remote from.
Right.
Now, where do you go? Where do you go to dine when you're not working?
Oh, I'll go. I love Le Bernardin for its simplicity.
Oh, we do too.
Dish.
Absolutely adore it.
I was at Thomas Keller per se and had my birthday there, and that was beautiful.
We can't even get in.
That's the thing. I know. And of course, I love Grey Coons, for example. The restaurant Grey Coons is an amazing chef. The restaurant Cru in New York, Chez Galante at Cru.
Yes, he's supposed to be wonderful. I've not been there.
Wonderful chef.
Yeah. That's on. We keep enlarging.
Of course, and I love Wally Dufresne at WDF.
Oh, we do too. We just love him.
Who I think is an avant-gardist chef.
He is. He uses the machinery.
And yet, I think he has his place there, and I think he's really representing New York in this avant-gardism of cuisine very, very well.
Yeah, Wiley's grandmother lives in Pittsburgh.
His maternal
grandmother.
Yeah, this is Dewey's first wife. Dewey's now married to somebody else who actually works in the restaurant.
But, I see.
But when he was first married, he told us a story of how he came roaring in from Providence with all of his friends to Wiley's grandmother's house.
He's a funny character. Did you ever saw the show I did on HDTV called After Hours with Danielle?
Oh, no. I bet that's fun, huh?
I created a show in HD, which is cable. It's one of the Mojo channel, and there is a show. They're still passing the show periodically, and it's called After Hours with Danielle.
Oh, that sounds like
and
fun!
And for anyone of your listeners who has HD, they should plug into. I think in New York is channel 721, but I don't know in the rest of the country if it follows the same one, but it's in HD, which is easy to find.
NHD?
INHD 1.
Okay, well.
And there is INHD 2, but it's INHD 1.
Great.
And it's in the Mojo sort of section of program.
Ah, well, listen, can you give us some final... This has been so much fun talking to you. We're going to be moving on to a break, and I don't know if you have something else to move on to, or if you want to...
For anyone who wish to know more about me or wish to buy a cookbook with a signed copy for Christmas or for the holiday, because they should go to my website, daniellenyc.com.
Right.
That's great.
That's great.
And that will help them be able to... even a book after the holiday. The Brace book is wonderful for the whole winter, springtime. Summertime, you want to do things a little more al fresco, casual, but the rest of the year, I think braising is wonderful.
Now, if they buy the book and bring it in, will you sign it for them?
If they bring it in, yes, but if they order it by email, I will also sign it for them.
Oh,
we'll ship it to them.
Great. Well, we put it on our website.
Oh, very nice.
Which is fulfilled through Amazon.com, so that people
very
get
well.
It shipped directly to them. But we'll reference the fact that you can buy it at www.danielnyc.com.
Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
look forward to see you in New York.
Exactly. I was just about
to say
that.
Welcome, your listener.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take a break.